Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Crowd of Idea Dudes. In this show, we're going to discuss tuning the IS70 server, web server. Who am I? Well, I've been in the industry for over 23 years. I've trained several branches of the government and the military, including the United States Air Force, Marines, Navy, and Army. If you want to know more about me, check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions or comments, put them in a question comment box at the bottom of the radio broadcast. Let's get started. Tuning is an important task and responsibility of the web server administrator. This is not a one-time thing. This is an ongoing task. There are different parts of the web server and each works in its own way. We're going to explore these different parts of the IIS server and tell you some of the things that you need to tune and look at and providing a better performance on your web server. When we're looking at tuning an IIS web server, one of the things that we have to think about is how do global changes impact the running worker process? Well, the changes are made at the site or application level, and the changes are picked up immediately by the web server. Unlike IIS 6.0, when you made changes to the web server, you had to restart the services. Well, with IIS 7.0, you don't have to do that. Global changes that affect multiple sites and applications will cause the processes to cycle, though. So that means the worker process is actually a representation of the application pool. Now, depending on how many applications that you have in the application pool, that will determine how many working processes that you have running. Now, if the changes are made in a localized scope, then the rest of the sites and applications will not be restarted. But if you go and make a change that's going to affect the overall global aspect of the web server, then you should make schedule these global changes, because what will happen is if the services are recycling or restarting, then individuals trying to connect to those web resources won't be able to get to them, because what will happen is they'll get a 503 error, which indicates that the server is not available and the service is not started. So one of the things that we can do is that we can consolidate the server roles. And one of the reasons, why would we want to do this? Well, reduce staff and effort, reduce hardware costs, and reduce facility costs. Increase reliability and availability, and improve security. So what we're doing here is that we can take our physical boxes and move them over into a virtualized environment, for example. And that way we can eliminate a lot of costs that we have for managing all these other boxes that we do have. So one of the things that we can also do to help with the overall performance of a web server is that we can configure website limitations. And depending on how many different servers that you have, the more servers you have, the more sites, the more important it is to limit the access to ensure availability for the other resources. One of the things is bandwidth is one concern. If you're environment is overtaxed with the different traffic that's on your network, then that's going to slow down the actual acquisition or the rendering of HTML pages and dynamic pages and so forth. Let's take a small office, for example. You want to limit the connections so you're not causing bandwidth overusage, because bandwidth overusage is going to cause it so that the applications are running are going to be slow, and then that's not going to be a good thing for your customers. Another thing that we can do is we can implement cache settings, and IIS 7.0 can cache dynamic and semi-dynamic output. Enable output caching will dramatically improve your server performance. Caching minimizes the server resource usage, and content is generalized on a first request. So what happens is when a client goes in and uses a browser and he accesses a web server, what will happen is the page will be rendered. Then it'll be cached. So the next time when a client comes to get that same content, it'll be coming from the cache instead of having to be recreated. So subsequent requests from the cache instead of being recreated and using the resources of that IIS server. Now, one of the things that we can also do is we can implement compression, but there's some guidelines. If your websites use large amounts of bandwidth, if you want to use bandwidth more effectively, consider enabling HTTP compression. But what it does is provides faster transmission times between IIS browsers enabled with compression. And doesn't matter if the content is remote or local, it's going to speed it up. If your network bandwidth is restricted, then compression is the answer. But if you have a server that has a process that's being overused, then don't implement compression, because what it's going to do is it's going to slow down things. Because compression requires that it has to use a CPU to be able to implement this feature. So the compression that is offered in IIS 7.0, we have static files and we have dynamic applications. We can also do both. Now, the thing is when we think about dynamic content means we're using ASP, ASP.NET, something that's going to be run off of the server, not like HTML code, which HTML code is just rendered, is presented to the client, to the browser through HTTP. But with ASP and ASP.NET, they actually have to render it out to HTML. While dynamic processing can affect the CPU resources, IIS does not cache the compressed versions of the dynamic content. When a request is asked for the content that is dynamic and it is compressed, the compressed version will be sent at all times. Dynamic compression consumes considerable processor resources, so it's not a good idea to use compression on dynamic, because it's going to use the CPU is going to be taxed more. Now, static content compression, static files are always compressed and can be cached and do not affect the CPU resources like dynamic responses do. Now, so let's talk about the compression best practice. What are the best practices about compression? Well, if the percentage of processor time counter is peaking at 80% or higher, then you shouldn't be using compression, because compression requires the CPU to do more work, and you're just going to overburden that CPU even more. Now, one of the utilities that we can implement, which is a new feature on Windows Server 2008, is the Windows Resource Manager. And the Windows Resource Manager, we used to use something called the CPU limit metabase property in the past on IIS 6.0, for example. The WSRM enables administrators to control how much CPU and memory resources are allocated. And this includes application services and processes. This improves system performance, reduces overhead or the overusage of resources. And what it does is it creates a more consistent and predictable experience for users of applications. Now, the WSRM integrates with the web pools. So we have a setting or a policy which is equal per IIS app pool. And this policy, what it does is automatically changes based on a response to the hardware. So the more memory we put in or the changes to the hardware in general will automatically adjust itself. Cluster changes if running in a cluster configuration also. Now, one of the other things that we need to look at that can slow down the server is how often that we're do logging. And logging information about the server is going to be captured and can consume resources in disk I/O. So how can we minimize the impact to performance? Well, log only the minimum information for routine statistics. Consider saving log files to a separate disk. And also make sure that you have the recycling of logs set on. We can do it based on the size of the file. We can do it based on an hourly, monthly, daily, weekly. Configure failed request event tracing for exceptions. And what that does is that's going to write information to the hard drive. Use the FREB only to capture critical errors and unresponsive states. So if you have a server, it's overburdened now, and you implement logging, you could have an adverse effect on that server. Another thing that we can do is that we can limit the amount of resources that are being used for applications. And we have what are known as application pools. And you can distribute the processing load based on your different application pools. Recycle worker processes of free resources. What recycling does is it restarts the application pool. And what we can do is we can set certain settings within the application pool to recycle, like at a different time, when the memory is hits a certain threshold, the virtual memory hits a certain threshold, the CPU is idle or whatever. So one of the things that you need to understand is that when we have application pools, we could have multiple applications that are sharing the same pool. And these are some of the guidelines, because they can adversely affect the performance of the server, is that only configure application pool sharing for stable applications. They all must have the same .NET version. Applications are not going to require higher security, because when you have applications in the same pool, they can share the data. And also, if you have tight resource constraints on the server, don't use application sharing. So do not application pool share for new applications, one that you don't know that are stable, because what can happen is it can adversely affect the actual pool. Problem applications, sandbox applications, meaning applications that are protected so that their data is not being shared. Applications with different .NET versions cannot be in the same application pool. And also, legacy apps are not good for being in the same application pool, because a lot of times they need their own resources. And security identity concerns. So I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Michael Kraut. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. As always, have a great day, and bye-bye for now.